there's a button on it, it's bad for me. So I'm glad the green was on. Well, it's good to be back. I'm glad I got to be part of the two cold days in Maine. We had them in Ohio. I forget when it was. We had two cold days in Ohio, and it was kind of same thing. This was a month or so ago, or 2 months ago. We had 2 days that was with the wind chill 40 below, 2 days of that. And I was actually home, and I was glad, because to feed the fire and help my wife with all the animal chores and things like that, that's treacherous. That's cold. And on top of that, we had plenty of snow. And so I was glad the Lord pitied me and let me be home them couple days, and went out street preaching in it and lasted a half hour, and that was about it. My face was as red as the seats. It was stupid. I confess. Confess your faults one before another, you know. All right, look in Job 36. Job 36, I'm here to help you. Job 36. Now, I always look in the mirror when I put messages together, and I forget where I was when I put this together. I thought to myself, this is it. This is right here is where it's at. This is Christianity. There are just some things every church could use something of, and I'll just go ahead and tell you before we start, you're all guilty, so that's over with, amen. You know, I wonder if he's going to preach on something that I'm guilty of. The answer's yes, amen. And so you don't have to be concerned about that. You can figure out where your place on your altar will be before, amen, the message even starts. You know, I tell people when I preach in churches, sometimes I'll preach for a week on the altar, and I said you ought to have a private altar at home, and you ought to have a place, a public place on your altar, amen, it is your place. Really, I think that's a beautiful thing, amen. I had one in a dead brighter church. I really had the whole altar because nobody else went. Amen. But I had my spot. It was right there, right there, right where was the pulpit, right there. And at Pastor Hood's, over at when Pastor was preaching, and I'd get to go there a few times and listen to him preach and wasn't preaching away myself, it was the same place, right there. And I still have his pulpit. I got his pulpit, amen. I beguiled it out of the boys. So look in Job 36. Job 36, look over here in verse 10. The Word of God says, by the way, it's time to turn your stupid phones off. I don't want to be on your internet and all your other programs. I don't know what they're called, but I don't want on. I don't want on your fake book, and I don't want on the tube, and I don't want on whatever all the other ones are called. Amen. So no, turn it off. Amen. You can do without it. Now let me give you a little advertisement. Amen. Something the Lord showed me here of late about them phones. You know, Manasseh was the worst king there ever was, right, in Judah. He caused them to be brought into captivity. You know what one of the last straws was? Here it is. He brought idols into the house of God. And then he spoke to the idols in the house of God, in God's house, and expected them to speak back to him. God's people, what got quiet? Bring their little idols and sit it right down beside them into God's house and talk to it, and it talks back to them. King James Bible waved the answer back to heaven, by thy grace we will. Amen. That's it. Man, we're in trouble, aren't we? All right, look in Job 36. Job 36, and look over here. We'll just start. We'll just a springboard. But in Job 36 and verse 10, just to get the point across what we're preaching on, Job 36 and verse 10, the Word of God says, he openeth also their ear to discipline and commandeth that they return from iniquity. In other words, he speaks to you. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. That sounds good, right? But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. No, God speaks to you about something, amen, and if you obey what he speaks to you about, you've got pleasures, you've got prosperity, amen, and if he speaks to you and you don't, then he says, I have to punish you. Now, I've learned a long time ago, I would rather have God speak to me than punish me. Amen. Real deep, you know. And so, He talks about discipline, you know. And so I want to talk a little bit about that tonight. We're going to preach a little bit on what I've entitled David's Discipline, and we're going to look at David because he had some discipline. Now, the word discipline means to correct, chastise, to punish. Amen. To correct, to chastise, to punish. And you and I need some discipline. So let's talk about this for a little bit. Now, Lord God, thank you for your kindness to let us come into the house of God. Thank you for these that have come. Lord, out on a cold Saturday night, Lord, to hear the word of God and to hear from you, and I pray that'll be the case. God, as they bow their head and their heart and ask you to talk to them, I pray you'll talk to them, and I pray, God, that, Lord, they'll talk back to you and leave this place different than the way they came in. God, help them, Lord, to get this important subject. Help it to sink down into their heart. Help them to be better fit for your, Lord, judgment seat of Christ coming soon, we pray. Do a work in our midst. God, help your people tonight. Speak to them, talk to them, change them, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now I want to just talk a little bit about David's discipline. Now, discipline is kind of like a habit, you know. When you get up in the morning, one of the first things you do, you know. And I get up in the morning. When I get up in the morning, wherever I'm at, no matter where it is, in a hotel, someplace, some state, first thing I do is make the bed. Right? And that's a good thing to do. You ought to have some discipline, amen. Look at Psalm 101. Now, God's people need some discipline, and I'm just going to give you three, maybe four. Psalm 101, we'll see how far you go. Psalm 101, and look over here in Psalm 101, and the Word of God says, Psalm 101, David here talking, he says, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Now look at what he says. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. Now you notice something there about that. You know what you see there? He says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. He says, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. You know what you don't see in that verse? You don't see God. You know what you see there? You see David saying, I will, I will, I will. Amen. You know what there is in the Bible? There's a lot of verses like that where it puts the ball in your court. And you know what? God ain't nowhere in there. It's David said, I will do this. I will behave myself. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I will walk in this way. It's David doing it. You know what David had to have? Some discipline, right? And you know what? You're going to have to get to the place where you've got some too, where you're able to correct yourself, chasten yourself, amen, punish yourself, and do some things like that. Look at Psalm 131. You see it again. Psalm 131. Over there in Psalm 131, the Word of God says in Psalm 131 and verse 1, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Now look at it in verse 2. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. You notice who did it? He did it. Amen. God didn't do it. You know, people think sometimes God's going to do everything for you. God ain't going to do everything for you. The easiest thing you ever did was get saved. Amen. After that, all hell broke loose. Amen. Really. That's about how it is. I'm just saying, when it comes to this thing of David's discipline, the first thing you're going to have that's obvious in the Word of God is you're going to have some discipline when it comes to yourself. You're going to have to discipline yourself. Now, our country don't know what discipline means, right? Our cities don't know what they mean, right? But it's bad when our churches don't have it. And it's worse when our Christian homes don't have it. And it's worse yet when individual Christian don't have it. And you're going to have some self-discipline. You're going to have to learn how to correct yourself, chasten yourself, and make yourself do some things that don't want to do. Amen. Boy, it's quiet in here tonight. It'll get quieter. Look over there in Luke in chapter 9. Now we're talking about David's discipline. Luke in chapter 9, the Word of God says, and Luke in chapter 9 over here, I don't understand it. I don't get it. I can't grab it. I know this. I know everybody has a problem with discipline. In Luke in chapter 9 and verse 23, of course, the Word of God says this. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let who? Who has to do it? You know what God ain't going to do? Make you do that. You know what you're going to have to do? Do it yourself. You're going to have to learn how to deny yourself. But if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. You're going to have to learn how to say, nope. And in your flesh, you're going to learn how to talk to yourself, see. I've been preaching on that thing for years. I've been talking to myself for years, amen. There's three of me. God talks to all three of him, amen. I can talk to all three of me, right? I'm just saying, when it comes to this thing of discipline, you're going to have a self-discipline, learn how to discipline yourself, amen. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. See, it don't matter what I say, what's the Word of God say? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, amen. I'm not going to give you a little verse and take a fit for an hour on one little baby verse. No, we're just going to see what the Bible says, amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, that's for boys that can't preach. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 26. The Word of God says this, I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but who? I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Let me ask you something. Where's God in that verse? He ain't there. You know who that's up to? You know what your pattern Paul is saying there? He's saying this. He's saying, hey, let me tell you something. He says, I keep my body under. God ain't going to keep your body under. You got to keep it under yourself. You're going to have to do that. You know what that's going to require? Discipline. You know what that's going to require? You chastening, correcting, and making this stinking monster of iniquity, as Brother Whitfield would say, mind you. I like his definition. A monster of iniquity right there. You say, I've said this for years. You say, the Bible says, there are many antichrists among us. Where are they? You're sitting in one. Everything about you is wrong. The only thing about you that's right is Jesus Christ. And God said, listen, if this thing about God was God saying, you know what, you will love me, amen, he'd have a bunch of robots. He gives you a choice. And you know what you find out with David? David said, I will behave myself. God ain't going to make him. He's going to have to do it. Jesus Christ said, but if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. You're going to have to deny yourself. God ain't going to make you deny yourself. Paul over there says, hey, I keep my body under. God ain't making him do it. He's going to have to do it. You say, what happens? Listen, you will control yourself or yourself will control you. And inside your flesh, no good thing. And the old man, which is corrupt, amen, is deep. Right? It's death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And if we walk in the flesh, amen. You know what happens when you walk in the flesh? You cannot please God, amen. And you know what your flesh wants to do? Walk in the flesh and control the inner man and have its own way and do everything that it shouldn't be doing. That's just how it is. And you're going to have a discipline on what? On yourself. Christianity is so undisciplined, it's sick. Amen. Now, over there in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, you know this one, in verse 31, of course, the Word of God says over there, he says, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. You say, what did he have to do? He had to do it. Now, look at 2 Corinthians in chapter 10. Let me show you a couple of these things, and we'll move on. 2 Corinthians in chapter 10, you're going to have a discipline when it comes to yourself. 2 Corinthians in chapter 10 and in verse 3, the Word of God says this, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You say, what are you talking about? You're going to have a discipline when it comes to yourself. You're going to have a discipline when it comes to that mind, amen. You know what your mind likes to think about? Everything it shouldn't think about. Right? Wouldn't it be something if we were spiritually minded? Wouldn't that be weird? I mean, I know mine eye affecteth mine heart, and I know images control your imaginations, amen? But you know what you need? You need a discipline when it comes to self. And when things come into your mind that shouldn't be there, you need to cast down them imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity, amen? Amen. You say, why? Because your mind is corrupt. And it likes to think about everything it shouldn't think about. Amen. And you know what you're going to have a discipline when it comes to yourself. Like what? Like your mind. Why? It's no good. It's just no good. Over there in Psalm 39, the Word of God says this. Psalm 39, we're talking about David's discipline. He had some discipline. Psalm 39 and verse 1, the Word of God says this. Psalm 39, verse 1, notice it. It says this. It says, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Where's God in that verse? He ain't in there. You say, who's it up to? David says, I will. Job 36, and look over here.